We've been looking at the fact that Jesus came to save us from our sin. Not just to forgive us our sins, but to go beyond forgiveness to salvation. We saw in our last study that salvation actually has got three tenses, past, present, future. We are to be saved from the penalty of our sin because of all the sins we have committed in our life. Now we are to be saved in the present tense from the power of sin, and in the future when Christ comes again, from the very presence of sin. And God has made provision for this, as I said in our last study, by giving us His Holy Spirit, who can now live within us and give us the power to overcome. More than that, our God has given us His own Son, not only to die for us as our substitute on the cross, but also to be an example for us as we look at His life on earth. There is a title of Jesus which is not very well known among Christians. See, a lot of us know Jesus as Savior, Good Shepherd, the way, the truth and the life, the light of the world, the door, the resurrection and the life, the bread of life. Many titles like this are very well known among Christians. But have you ever heard of Jesus' title as forerunner? That is found in the book of Hebrews, which is the one book that describes the humanity of Jesus Christ more than any other book in the New Testament, which is one reason why the devil won't want you to read Hebrews too much. I found that Hebrews is not a very popular book with many believers. And that's not surprising, because if the devil knows if you read and study it, you may come to a life of victory, and he doesn't want you to get victory. And in the book of Hebrews, which emphasizes the humanity of Christ, it doesn't take away from his deity. See, whenever we speak about the humanity of Christ, we have to be very careful to emphasize the fact that we are not denying that he is God. And that's why the writer to the Hebrews, he knows his burden is from the Holy Spirit to emphasize the fact that Jesus was a man, 100%. And therefore, he begins by, in the first chapter, by emphasizing that he was God, 100%. In fact, there's hardly a book in the New Testament that emphasizes the deity of Christ as much as the first chapter of Hebrews, because he wants to move on from there to show that Jesus was not only 100% God, but he was also 100% man. When Jesus was living on earth, he was 100% God and 100% man, but most people could not recognize the God part. They thought he was just another man, and they found it difficult to acknowledge that he was 100% God, except a few people like Peter got revelation on that from the Father, that this person was not just a man, he was God Almighty, the second person of the Trinity. But today, among Christians, all Christians accept Jesus Christ as God. There are some strange cults that don't accept him as God, but all Christians accept him as God. The problem today is the reverse of what it was in the days when Jesus was on earth. Today the problem is that many Christians can't accept the fact that he was 100% man. So, which is a heresy? Supposing someone believed that Jesus was 100% man, but not 100% God, would you call that heresy? Sure, it is a heresy. What about the other way around? Supposing a person says, I believe Jesus Christ was 100% God, but he was not 100% man, that is equally a heresy. What does it mean for him to be 100% man? It doesn't mean he has to be sinful, because sin is not a part of the way God created man. No. But he was completely like us, made like his brothers in all things, it says in Hebrews 2:17. Tempted like us in all things, it says in Hebrews 4:15. But with no sin in him. He was completely separate from sin. He was pure and holy and undefiled. He was born holy because he was born of the Holy Spirit. But because he was a man like us, made like us in every way, tempted like us in every way, because he voluntarily chose not to use his God, his resources as God when he was on earth. Therefore, he could be an example for us, and he's called in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 20 as our forerunner. Forerunner means one who runs in front of us in exactly the same track that we have to run. If he ran on another track, he would not be our forerunner. Because he ran in the same track we have to run in, he's called our forerunner. Later on in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we are told, "Let us run this race looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter," or author and finisher, "of our faith." So how can we look at Jesus and run this race if he's not running in front of us? If he hasn't run the same race in front of us, we cannot look at him and run if he's running somewhere else on some other track. This is what it means to believe that he was 100% human. He had to face the same temptations that you and I face. And he had no more resources than you and I have. He was made like his brothers, Hebrews 2:17, in all things. It says he had to be made, Hebrews 2:17, like his brothers in all things, because only then could he become our high priest. So, what does this mean in practical terms? You see, we make an excuse for our sin by saying, we're only human. As if being human means we have to sin. Well, if we are without the power of the Holy Spirit, that's right. We will keep on sinning forever and ever and ever. But, Jesus was also human. How did he not sin? Then immediately you begin to think, oh, but he was God. Now the question arises, when he was on earth, did he use his resources as God? Then of course he cannot be an example for us. Completely out of the question. He cannot say to any of us, follow me. Because I'll say, Lord, I can't follow you. You were God, I'm a man. And yet Jesus kept on saying to people, follow me, follow me, follow me. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. He was following Christ. Philippians 3, verse 17, Paul says, make me an example and make others an example who are following Christ. Follow us, he says. Follow our example. We are following Christ. It's possible for us to follow Christ because Christ was human just like us. Exactly like us. Except that there was no sin in him. He was tempted exactly like us. He felt the pull of temptation that you and I feel. If he did not feel the pull of temptation, then you cannot say he was tempted. If there is no pull, there is no temptation. The meaning of temptation is a pull downwards of gravity. When Jesus walked on the water in Matthew 14, on the Sea of Galilee, let me ask you a question. Did he feel the pull of the law of gravity pulling him down like we all feel? Or do you say, well, he is God, he doesn't feel the pull of gravity? If that were the case, then there's no miracle in his walking on the water. That's not a miracle at all. Almighty God walking on the water, he can fly across the water. That's no miracle. It's a miracle because Jesus was 100% man and felt the pull of gravity and overcame it and walked on the water, and then told Peter, if you look at me, you can also experience this miracle. And Peter walked on the water. So there we see, when we recognize that Jesus was a man like us and felt the pull, this time not of the law of gravity, but the law of sin and death, he felt that pull of temptation and did not sin. If he had sinned, it would have led him to death, but he didn't sin. But he felt the pull and he overcame it. You know, many people degrade Jesus by saying, oh, no, he didn't feel any pull. Well, then it's not a great thing if he faced temptation. For example, when the devil told him to turn stones to bread, was it possible for Jesus to turn stones to bread or not? If you say it was possible, then you're actually saying it was possible for him to sin. But he didn't. If it was impossible for him to turn stones into bread, then there's no temptation. Temptation is there only when there's a possibility of your doing it, not when there's no possibility. When the devil told him to jump from the temple, was it possible for Jesus to jump? What do you think? I say yes, he could certainly have jumped, but he didn't. If he had jumped, he would have sinned, and he would have died, but he didn't. So we need to see that Jesus faced temptation really. He wasn't play-acting. You know, like in a drama, a person can act as though he's being tempted. Don't accuse Jesus of acting as though he was being tempted and not really being tempted. It's an insult. And a lot of Christians insult Christ by saying he was not really tempted like us. Then what was he doing? Play-acting? We must honor Christ by saying he was no play actor. He faced temptation really and overcame it. Now the devil doesn't want you to know that. Because if you know it, you'll get victory over sin. And he doesn't want you to get victory over sin. He wants you to be defeated all your life. I know in my own life, after I was born again, for 16 years, I was defeated. After I was born again and baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was defeated by sin, just like a lot of other Christians, no different. And yet I saw in the Word of God that if I came under grace, Romans 6 verse 14, sin would not have power over me. How did sin have power over me then? Because I did not understand what it is to come under God's grace. I knew God's grace in terms of forgiveness of sins, but I never knew the experience of a further level of grace where sin would not have dominion over me. Romans 6 verse 14. Always my excuse was, but I'm human. But the day I saw that Jesus was like me, he came in the flesh, like me. He was tempted like me. The day I saw that, two things happened in my life. One, I had no more excuse for my sin. Till then my excuse is, but Jesus was God. Now I couldn't say that, because though he was God, he didn't use the resources of God. That's what I saw when it says in Philippians 2:5 that he emptied himself. What did he empty himself of when he came to this earth? He did not empty himself of his deity, because he was God Almighty. God cannot ever cease being God. He accepted worship, he forgave people's sins. But he did empty himself of the resources of deity. For example, God knows everything. But Jesus, when he lived on earth, refused to use that power. He could have used it, but he didn't use it. He emptied himself. That's why he did not know whether there was fruit on a fig tree. He had to come near it, just like other human beings have to come near a tree to find out if there's fruit. He did not know the date of his own second coming to the earth. He says that in the Gospel of Mark, the Son of Man does not know. Only the Father knows the date. Why was that? Because he had limited himself. Now he knows the date because he's back up in heaven. But when he was on earth, he limited himself. God is never tired. The Bible says, God, Psalm 121 says, God never slumbers or sleeps. But Jesus slept in the boat because he had limited himself. He did not use that resource of God who never slumbers or sleeps. If he had not limited himself, he could not be our example because we have so many limitations. Secondly, if he had used resources that I have no access to, again he could not be my example. To be my example, he had to use only those resources which I also have access to. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all he used to overcome sin. And he offers that same resource to us fully. So, two things happened to me, as I said. One, I had no more excuse for sin because I could not say, oh, I'm human, so I have to sin. Here was one human who did not sin, Jesus. The second thing that happened to me was I had faith that if one human could do it, so can I. Let me use an illustration. Supposing there was some island somewhere in this earth where the people who lived there had been cut off from the rest of civilization from the beginning of time, let's say, from the beginning of the human race, or whenever people went to that island. And let's say in that middle of that island there's a river. But nobody ever has learned to swim on that island. And generation after generation after generation, nobody has learned to swim, and everybody feels if you get into the water, you'll drown. Because man's body is heavier than water. You get into the water, you'll sink. And they have seen people sink and they say, yeah, you can't float on this water. It's impossible. So generation after generation, nobody gets into the water because you drown. Okay. Let's say that one man now comes from the civilized world and tells them, hey, you got a river here. Why don't you swim? I said, no, that's impossible. No man can float on the water. Your body is heavier than water. He says, no, but if you make a little effort, you can swim. And they say, let's see. And he jumps in and swims across to the other side. And they are absolutely amazed. They think perhaps his body is of a different type than theirs. And they examine him and they find, no, it's not. It's exactly the same. What happens then? They get faith that they can also overcome gravity and swim because they saw one man do it. Well, that's what happened to me when I saw that Jesus was tempted like me and did not sin. That the law of sin, temptation, pulled him down, but he did not yield. He overcame. And when I saw this one man swim, as it were, without sinking, it gave me faith that I can also overcome them. And that's the faith the devil doesn't want you to have, because you'll be an overcomer. Do you think the devil wants you to be an overcomer? No. He wants you to be defeated like you've been defeated all your life. How many Christians can stand up and testify, God has given me grace to get victory over my anger, over the lust of my eyes, over bitterness, over jealousy, etc., etc.? They are so rare. You may find one in a thousand. You'd be lucky if you find one believer in a thousand who can testify to that. Why? Because the devil has blinded them to the truth that Jesus became like them and was tempted like them. He's blinded you to that truth. But you need not be blind anymore. Let me use another illustration. Supposing an angel from heaven came to earth to teach you how to swim in a swimming pool. And he flies across the swimming pool with his wings and says, follow me. What will you say to him? You'll say, hey, I can't follow you, angel. I can admire you, but I can't follow you because you're not subject to the law of gravity that I'm subject to. If you want to teach me to swim, get rid of your wings and take a body like mine. And if the angel takes a body like mine, gets rid of his wings, then he can jump into the pool and teach me to swim and say, follow me. Otherwise, he can only say, admire me. So if Jesus was not like us, all he can say to us is, admire me. Admire me how I overcome sin. But you can't follow me because you're not like me. But he never said that. Jesus is our forerunner, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us run the race looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Illustrations help us to understand this truth more clearly. And I want to use one more. Think if a billionaire, not a millionaire, billionaire, a very, very rich billionaire from some Western country, comes to India to help the poor people who live in the slums of India, to teach them how to live without getting into debt, with the limited amount of money they earn every month, to teach them how to keep their little huts in the slum clean with the limited amount of money they earn. But this man is a billionaire. He's got a credit card. He can go to any ATM machine and draw thousands of dollars if he wants. But he comes here and he tells these people in the slum, I will work just like you. You know, carrying bricks or whatever it is in some construction site and earning, say, 1,000 rupees a month or whatever it is. I will not earn more than you. I will earn just like you. And I will build a little hut here just like you build. And I will show you how I can live with keeping the hut clean and not get into debt and live a clean life here. And they watch him. And if he secretly goes to some ATM machine every now and then and puts in his credit card and draws money, he's cheating. And if they see that, they say, hey, you can do that because you're a billionaire. You got a credit card. We don't have that. But he says, no, I'll never go to an ATM machine. I've got a credit card, I'm a billionaire, but I won't use it. I refuse to use my resources in the country I come from, and I will limit myself only to the resources you have. And he's true to his word. He never uses his credit card. He lives, works, and earns just like anybody else, lives like them, such a man can say to the others, follow me. He cannot say follow me if he keeps using his credit card. Now when Jesus came to earth, just like this man was a billionaire, when he was living in the slum, he was still a billionaire. That didn't change. He had billions in his bank account back in the United States or wherever he came from. But he didn't live as a billionaire here. He didn't use his credit card here. That is a picture of how Jesus came to this earth. He never used his heavenly credit card, his resources as God, though he was God. He lived using the resources we have, or we are offered. And so he could say to us, follow me. When we see this wonderful truth, we come to a godly life. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, God was manifest in the flesh. That is the secret of godliness. What is the secret of godliness? That he came down to earth, was manifest in the flesh, and was pure in his spirit. How can a man live in this flesh and be pure in his spirit? Jesus demonstrated how. So it's possible for us to live a life of victory, even though we have this flesh. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is greater than the power of the flesh. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a time when the children of Israel reached the borders of the land of Canaan. And the Lord said, go into the land and occupy the land. But they looked at the giants and they said, no, we can't overcome this. These people are so mighty and so powerful. And the Lord said, you can. Go in. And 600,000 people said, no, that's not possible. But two people, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can do it. and they are the only ones who went in. Was it because their muscles were stronger? No. They trusted in God. That's why they possessed the land. Because they trusted in God. You know, you can look at some sin in your life and the devil says, you can never overcome that. It's like a giant in your life. Now it's a question of whether you follow the Israelites and say, oh, that's right, we can't overcome these giants, they'll always rule us. Or whether you follow Joshua and Caleb's example and say, we can overcome that. That's the message of the Bible. You can be an overcomer. You don't have to be defeated. Jesus was an overcomer. He lived on earth and demonstrated how we can overcome. But if you don't follow his example in the way he sought to live an overcoming life, you'll never get there. Notice, for example, in Hebrews chapter 5, what it says about Jesus. In the days when he was on this earth in the flesh, it says he prayed with loud crying and tears. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. This is not referring to the one day when he was in Gethsemane. No. In the days of his flesh means in the days when he lived on this earth, 33 and a half years. What did he do? He prayed with loud crying and tears. What for? To be saved from death. Now there are two types of death the Bible speaks of, the New Testament. Physical death, spiritual death. Which of these two deaths was Jesus praying to be saved from? Certainly not physical death. Even the martyrs didn't say pray to be saved from that. The only death Jesus was afraid of, was spiritual death. He prayed, Father, don't let spiritual death touch me. Let there be no smell of spiritual death in me. In other words, there should be no smell of sin in my life when I am tempted. I must come out of temptation without even the smell of sin or spiritual death. And he was heard. The Bible says he was heard. That proves it was not physical death, because physical death he died. So we see that Jesus overcame by crying out to the Father. He recognized that his flesh was weak, cried out for help from the Holy Spirit, and he overcame. And you can overcome too, if you will trust in the Lord and cry out for salvation from the power of sin like that. God bless you.